faith.
Jim Petra, your host on the Dynamic Duo with my special guest, Judy Wood. We're discussing the physics and potential explanation of the devastation at the World Trade Center. Judy, some in the audience may find it fascinating to look at the total degree of devastation that you begin discussing on page 3, and then coming backward to the importance of some of your calculations vis-a-vis the King Dome, but I leave this in your hands.
So the calculations are on the web. And we haven't really finished, again, the article, but yes, let's pick up on page 3. And the first picture, photograph, is figure 32, where the street is filled with dust. Not quite ankle deep, but it does fill in the curbs, and you can see tire tracks in it. What could have made all of this dust? And notice the sun is blocked out. You can't really see down the end of the street. You can see a little bit of sunlight coming through at the next intersection. Perhaps that's the top half of the buildings. And the next picture down is an aerial view of Ground Zero. And where's the building? You see some walls. I call those wheat checks. They look like wheat checks. The outer columns and bundles. But there's a few, like, little barely skinny walls standing up all by themselves unsupported. There's nothing else there. Next picture down, you see the building turning into dust. The dust is going up. A lot of it's going up. Why would it be going up if the building was collapsing down? In normal, regular, controlled demolition, you can watch the top of the building move downward. Here, the top of the building is obliterated, and you see an awful lot of material going up. That was another big difference with the King Dome. The King Dome, the dust didn't really rise above the highest point of the building. But here, there's a smoke that was pouring out of the buildings ahead of time. Maybe that was to hide the fact that, you know, suddenly the cloud got bigger. Suddenly, a whole lot of dust, smoke, whatever you want to call it, started going upward. Pretty much of a puzzle. But in figure 34, you'll notice a little bit left standing on the right. And then I have a close-up shot of that where, wow, it looks like the building is actually turning to dust as it stands, right before your eyes.
36 sequence, for example.
Right, there's a sequence there. The video link, for some reason, isn't working. I've noticed it's been posted all over the Internet on lots of blogs, and I wonder if my host turned off that link. I'll put up a different
link. Don't worry, because what you have there, that sequence 36 and 37, certainly conveys exactly what you
see. Oh, yes. And there's also a CNN video of it where Aaron Brown, it almost seems like he knows what's going on. He feels embarrassed. He says, oh, that was just smoke. It was hiding behind smoke.
Look at 40A and 40B, Judy. Those are just astounding because there's obviously no possible way the government's official account could explain all this. And I think the question in many of our audience's mind is this the kind of devastation that could possibly have been brought about by some kind of thermite, even in a sophisticated nanotechnology-enhanced version?
Well, 40A really struck me. That's one of my favorite pictures. I call it the snowball picture. It looks like a big snowball. And the building in a little bit closer to us, the black building, is 40 stories tall. And behind that is Tower 2 going poof. Tower 2 is supposed to be 110 stories. So we're the top 70 or 75 stories. They're not there. They haven't fallen down. You don't see them below that snowball.
They've been pulverized.
They're just gone.
Disintegrated.
Yeah, wafting up to heaven. They're just not there. You see some of the aluminum cladding from the outer part of the building flying off. but nothing else. And the 40B, it looks like the building has gone through a blender or a liquidizer.
Some kind of pulverizer. Then I know you have a fascination with 314A, the next...
Oh, yes, yes. That actually came from the NIST report. Here you have this chunk of wheat checks flying overhead, flying over WTC-3. How many people talk about WTC-3? It kind of gets ignored. But if you fall along the roof line, when you get to the right-hand corner, you notice it's kind of warped looking. It looks like kind of a brown seahorse with his back against the wall. It's warped. The building's coming apart as we're looking at it. And if you notice that chunk of wheat checks on the right, it's turning to dust as we look at it. It's kind of got this funny wrinkled look, and it's streaming dust as it falls. Now, is that a contrail? What is causing it? And then the wheat checks overhead are turning brown, and that looks like brown mush or whatever coming out the back.
Tell us about Bill Biggert's photographs, the next couple of photographs.
Right. And
are haunting.
And the first time I saw that last photograph, and that was the last photograph he ever took in his life. He died right after that. I felt a really strong connection to it. There was something important in there, and I didn't get it for the first couple of years. Now I do. That's one of the few pictures we have of Building 3. Half of it was destroyed while Tower 2 was destroyed, and the other half was destroyed when Tower 1 was destroyed. This is the picture in between the two. In between Tower 2 going poof and Tower 1 going poof. Notice the straight vertical cuts into them. And on 315B, very straight vertical cuts.
I've described that 315B as though a gigantic Zorro took his sword and took a couple of whacks.
Yeah, a big bite taken out of the middle of the building. That's a 22-story building. Where is the material that came out of the middle? It's not in front. Those wheat chicks were flying overhead. Where did they land?
55B and 313 are just stunning indications of how complete and total was the devastation.
There's nothing left. And if you go to 55B right below there, that was taken 2 days later, you can see there's nothing left of Building 3.
Now, of course, some would say, well, of course, part of it is underground, right, because of the sub-basement, whatever.
Oh, we'll get to that in the next segment. We're going to go underground and look to see what's there.
Okay. And in 313, of course, you have this total devastation.
Right. You see, this on the right, there's nothing really left of the 22-story building. And on the left, you see this kind of fog hovering over Building 2's carcass. And you see these outer walls sitting there. What is that fog? Where's it coming from? If something was on fire, you'd see the source of it, where it was coming from. You have this fog that's just kind of hanging over. Is that... perhaps metal that's kind of, or molecules from the metal that are just kind of wafting up.
Something that's fascinated me about 41, 42, and 43 is how you have this immense source of energy, and yet it doesn't destroy paper.
Right.
There's
41,
paper
you're standing on Church Street looking south. To the right is buildings 4 and 5, but you just have paper in the street. You have some fire, but the paper isn't on fire.
And the paper have not been on fire just because it has so little mass? I just don't know what to make of it.
We're just taking in the data here. And when
okay.
you see aluminum cladding, we don't see any steel or anything else. Just have paper and aluminum cladding.
Okay.
And further on down, we just see lots of dust, huge dust, dust on the oranges. You know, it's like it snowed dust.
And 44 and 45 are spectacular, particularly 45.
Right. It's a dust fountain. It looks like a bubbler. If you're from the upper Midwest, you know, the drinking fountain looks like a bubbler.
Or some kind of volcanic explosion.
That's a collapse look to me. And 46, this pitiful look on this guy's face, is he's still so overwhelmed. He's going to clean up the building with a shovel.
Fascinating.
And on the right, those guys are standing at essentially lobby level. There's no building there. Where'd it go?
And look at 48. My God, the totality of the devastation.
And that black building you see in the foreground, seven times the volume of that building is what was destroyed. Can you count for it in that picture you see?
Utterly fascinating, utterly fascinating. Stand by. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood.
friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned Pure Soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
With energy costs on the rise and cooler weather around the corner, isn't it time to replace your home's windows? Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilted easy for cleaning, and they also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and ask about our special financing terms. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 12/30/06. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now. 1-800-393-8378. Ask about our special financing terms. That's 1-800-393-8378.
Send your loved one a timeless treasure this Christmas. Get the book, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell. Set in a simpler time in rural America, when a father and son could harvest their Christmas tree without the fear of being accosted by a UN Eco-Goon squad, when a mother could prepare her family's holiday meal without worries of chemical-laden, genetically modified foods, a time when a man could travel the roads freely without paying tolls to foreign monarchies. The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure, is a wonderful tale in which the adventure and the danger are real. And the joy of Christmas comes from the hearts of a small, humble family, rather than a big box department store. Written by Steve Culver, fellow patriot and GCN listener. Get your copy, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure. Available at Amazon.com or AuthorHouse.com, or by calling 1-888-280-7715. That's 1-888-280-7715. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, anybody's help in any way.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett. And my special guest today is Judy Wood. Judy, I must say some of the most fascinating photographs in your collection are those on your next page, 54, 55A, and 56, which are photographs of Building 6 displaying a devastating kind of destruction that would seem to defy conventional explanation.
Well, no, we're not looking for the explanation yet. We're just observing. And you're right, we're on page 4. It starts out with an overhead shot, and then there's an oblique angle shot, probably from a helicopter, where you notice this big gaping hole in Building 6. But it looks empty. It looks like vertical cuts, as though something was taking a soil sample, where they take this cylindrical core sample down into the earth and pull it out. And there's nothing left.
And there's a less discernible but equally striking hole in Building 5.
And also look across the street, or into the street. You have about 20 floors, the lower 20 floors of the North Tower, laying in the middle of the West Side Highway. You don't see much in between there and the street. It's almost like that lower chunk of wall jumped out into the street, did kind of a pirouette, rotated around, and laid down the street.
Are you talking about 55A now?
Yes. That section almost made that twisty turn, and it just barely nicked the building across the street on the right, and which is it's just an interesting observation. They got that steel moved out fairly fast, but that's one of the largest sections of steel that we saw. Imagine a 110-story building, and that's all you see left.
You can see the cavities in 6 and 5 more easily in 56.
And you look in there, and it's an empty hole with vertical slices into it. So we go down to the next building, and that's that look across the street. This is taken 2 days after 9/11.
Bankers Trust.
Right, 55B and 55C. We're looking across West Side Highway, and we see those beams laid out there. The following picture is another oblique angle of the big empty hole in Building 6, which is bizarre. Then, we pass Bankers Trust, and we notice on the Bankers Trust, we have an aerial view of just the roof of a building. You see a few pieces of aluminum cladding, but that's it. You don't see those steel wheat checks.
And
they only start flying out in the lower 24s.
And you don't have any massive holes gouged out either.
Any what?
No massive holes are gouged out, as in
no, no. It's just, and remember this big black building in what's now called Figure 11. That was what we saw in the foreground in the snowball picture.
Yeah.
And we don't see any solid material.
You got a great map of the World Trade Center at 59A and 59B, a photograph that corresponds.
And 59B. Look how tall those buildings are, and look at those little itty bitty buildings way down the ground that look like they're one story tall. There's 8 and 9 stories tall. And then the next picture, figure 57.
Just stunning.
You see nothing left. It's just gutted out. Except you see this little stub of a building in the lower center of the picture, which is kind of odd. And we keep on going down. There's another picture. It's called figure wall right now because it doesn't have a number yet. That one is the most stunning. Spooked, who runs covert operations, Blogspot, shared this picture with me. It is just amazing. Look at the little stub of the north wall of Tower 1. This left, on the right side of the picture.
The wheat checks above the dome?
Figure wall is what it's called.
These are the wheat checks above the dome?
Yeah, right above the dome you see what's left of Tower 1, and then to the left of that you see the Building 6 with a big hole in it, and to the left of that you see the remnants of WTC 7, which is huge compared to Tower 1.
And, of course, 7, we all know, came down by a conventional demolition, so that's an interesting contrast.
Right, and this building in between is an 8-story building, and it towers over the remnants of Tower 1. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Now, the wheat checks there, the outer wall, are at most 10 stories tall. 10 stories tall, so that means there's 100 stories left to be accounted for. As it's leaning to the left, where'd they go? They didn't fall on Building 6.
I think this gives us an excellent idea of what has to be explained. I think you've given us an excellent tour of the evidence that has to be explained. I mean, if you flip down a couple more to 63, I mean, the destruction is total and complete and massive, and it's the entire World Trade Center.
There's nothing left.
And it's not just Building 1 and 2. Even if you throw in 7, which we know had a completely different cause of a demolition or collapse.
Figure 63Z was taken inside of that hole of Building 6. And you can see it's empty down to the ground.
So something has just demolished the inside of the building.
Ate it out. There's nothing left.
Like having an organ removed in surgery. Now you have it, now you don't.
It just disappeared. If we go down to figure 60, Now that is the upper left corner of the picture is the footprint of Tower 2. And the lower part of that, to the right, is the remnants of Building 4. The main part of Building 4 is to the left of that, but there's nothing there. But what is really interesting is way on the left side of the picture, near the top, you see a round black hole in the street. That's always fascinating me, the hole in the street. And it seems to line up with the wheat checks that are leaning out over it. I'm talking about the upper left
corner. The dark area near the red crane?
Yeah, it's...
Just below the red crane.
Well, it's figure 60, yeah, with the red frame, near the upper left corner. And it's just outside of the footprint of Tower 2.
Oh, above the red crane, because there's also like...
Oh, yeah, above the red crane. I think I meant red frame of the picture. Yeah, above the red crane, you see a round circular hole in the street.
Right, adjacent to the wheat checks.
Yep. And if you notice the wheat checks that are leaning over that hole, they have a cutout that lines up with it.
You notice you also have an oval-like gouge just below the red crane.
Right. There's some trash laying loosely on top, but you can see how dark it is there. That it looks like it might be a void under there. So now we go down to the next picture. Let's go down in those holes. If you notice in the next picture, figure 302, right behind the fellow by the stepladder, you see the wheat checks. That's the edge of building 2, of tower 2. He just is about to climb down to or just climbing out of the hole in the ground. That's within a week of 9/11. So in the picture on the right, it shows a diagram, and he's in hole 2, we call it. Hole 1 is that round one in the middle of the street.
About 303.
And 303, they're climbing down the ladder, down into the middle of the basement of Tower 2. And it looks like that fellow with a big 2 on his back with a flashlight, he looks like he's standing in a puddle, or at least it's a sloppy, wet surface. And perhaps that's bedrock that he's on, not sure, but it's a very horizontal surface. They're not on their hands and knees.
That's still in figure 300, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking it was a different number. And notice how empty that hole is. How did he get that empty? Sure, they weren't excavating. They're still in the recovery mode. They're looking for survivors. They're
terrific.
Out the basement.
This is Jim Fetzer on the Dynamic Duo with my special guest, Judy Wood. We're discussing the demolition of the World Trade Center. Stand by.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with a total transformation.
After the total transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the total transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The total transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with my special guest, Judy Wood. We're discussing the destruction of the World Trade Center. Judy, you've done such a wonderful job of putting together a photographic record of the destruction. I'd like to invite you to address the principal theories that might be available to explain the phenomena that you've so vividly described. I've been very impressed by the way in which you summarize the descriptive findings in terms of your principal data. Perhaps you could discuss this and then highlight it with a couple of specific issues of great interest.
Well, I think it still comes back to, and I think it's important to look back at page 4. The end of page 4, or near the bottom, you have the rescue workers going down into the mall, which is in the first sub-basement, right underneath where supposedly Tower 2 was to have fallen. So the first floor below, basement below the ground. And these guys are walking around, standing erect. You can see Innovations Incorporated or whatever, the sign for a store on the side. They're walking around the mall. And that apparently is where Roadrunner got rescued from. So whatever happened did not seem to go below ground, which was bizarre. And then looking on page 5, where I had the toasted cars, that's what really where it all started to click with me. Is the first picture is of this police car with a wilted door. Missing door handles, the front tire is missing. Well, no, not all of the tire. The rubber's missing. They still have the steel belts from his tire there. And if you look out, you can see over the car and see the East River. He's on the FDR Drive, this vehicle is. So what is this police car on FDR Drive doing that looks like wilted vehicle? And you look below that, there's plenty of other toasted vehicles with all sorts of the weirdest patterns. And maybe the outside's burnt, but the inside isn't, or the inside's burnt and the outside isn't.
Excellent.
There's a very big puzzle.
And these were nowhere near the World Trade Center, per se.
Right. And with my background in optics, I started thinking, okay, you have, like, canyons. You know, the buildings make canyons in New York City.
Yeah.
Could you have reflections of some kind of
energy?
Beam. You know, like, if it was a visual light, you could reflect light off of the various buildings in it, or even sound. You know how canyons echo.
And when you say beam, of course, you mean stream of energy, right?
Right. Like, whether it's sound, like you go to the Grand Canyon, you yell something, you hear it echo.
Yes.
Down the canyon, it bounces off the walls.
Energy,
the same thing
waves.
In New York City. If you have, maybe it isn't the wavelength of sound, maybe it's the wavelength of, light, maybe it's some kind of energy that could, it's conceivable that it could reflect down and end up on FDR Drive, because there's a whole lot of cars, like all the cars that were on FDR Drive look like they got toasted. But this weird pattern, and you see cars that are with their engine blocks burning, but the beautiful wax job on the back end looks just fine. That's where the gas tank is, on the back end, and it didn't blow up. So we start putting it all together. Oh, energy beam, maybe. You know, it starts coming together. And why do you have this, I'm looking on bottom of page 5, you have a perfectly healthy, brand-new-looking fire truck, except all the windows have been blown out of it, and its rearview mirrors have been blown off. It just seems bizarre. So was it, that lady singing at the opera that did it?
Rip.
So if we go to page 6, we haven't finished this yet, but these are mainly placeholders. But we start looking at things. Like at the top we have the Bankers Trust building, which was right across the street from Tower 2. And you see this weird gouge down the front. And it looks like a cylindrical cutout. There's a wheat check sitting in it. But that wheat check has square ends. No way could it have made that big gouge. And then there's a picture from the FEMA report, from the FEMA report, that shows a shriveled up beam. Kind of like you pulled a hair out of your head, scraped your fingernail down it so it would coil up.
Right in the middle, the yellowish beam with a contracted, atrophied end.
It looks like, a hair from your head that you scraped your fingernail along so it would coil up. It just is shriveled up looking on the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a mechanical failure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some interesting things I noticed from Paul Thompson's timeline about when all the planes were ordered to land, including military flights, except for a few top-secret missions. And the military flights were allowed to return to flight within two minutes of when Tower 1 went poof. Pretty bizarre.
And, of course, Tower 1 went down second, so you're talking about the completion of the demolition of the of the Twin Towers, and with it the World Trade Center taking place at what appears to be the same time.
And what it looks to me like, if the first tower was Tower 2 that went down, that top was rotated over deliberately, it looks like. Because as I have this little diagram under it, once it starts to turn, all the load is on the lower corner, and the upper corner has less load on it, so why is it going to fail? So once it starts to tilt like that, why is the rest going to fail? Why is the back end of that tilt exploding? So that's kind of bizarre. But the fact that that whole chunk tipped over and supposedly was going to crash down on Building 4, but then nothing's left by the time it hits the ground.
Steve and I had a conversation about it once where he said how we'd looked at it very carefully and it starts to tilt and pivot and all of a sudden it's no longer there.
Right. It kind of gets disintegrated. And then if we start looking at the remnants left on the ground.
76, 77, 78.
78. In 78, it's a view from the east side looking west and you can see the wall, 78A, you can see the wall of the west wall of Tower 2. And on the right, you see the north wing of Tower 4, or Building 4, but nothing else left.
And look at the 79 series, my goodness, and the 80 series.
Yeah, is this, but the fact that in 78A, that north wing looks surgically removed in a vertical cut, that's not a natural-looking process.
Right.
And you get, plenty of devastation all the way down. Now, starting to sum things up. Yes, people talked about explosions. Well, it would look kind of bad. It'd be kind of tacky if the building turned into a mushroom cloud, first into a clear blue sky.
Yes.
But if you had all the smoke already and then the smoke just got bigger, and also you need to have the top look like it's dropping. So, okay, you could use, I'm just hypothesizing here, you could use some dynamite sticks in there maybe to get the top to start moving down. And then you kick in the rest of your high-tech gizmos, maybe. And people are going to accept dynamite, especially if you have a couple of puffs run out here and there.
Or it could be something more powerful than dynamite, like this RDX stuff and all
that.
Well,
if we notice those round holes in Building 6, it was full of bullet holes. And speaking of bullet holes, there are some interesting telltales in those clouds that represent very, very high energy expansion. And from what I'm seeing in those, and I can go into more detail later, it's much more powerful than a nuclear.
Well, we won't have an opportunity today to go much further. I would invite you to go down to your conclusions, which provide a wonderful summary of the evidence,
okay,
and talk about the theories that might possibly explain them, and to just talk about why the theories, respectively, don't seem to be adequate to account
well,
for
if
the
we
evidence.
Said something about the data that we've just covered. We've been looking at various aspects of the data.
Right.
And, you know, it seems like there's got to be some kind of high-tech weapon out there that we haven't really been that familiar with. And I looked at various kinds, and there's plenty of evidence out there for things that have been developed over the years.
Just to move down to your box about what theories are available, here you're talking about natural causes like earthquakes and hurricanes, arson, the official theory of airplane impact, fires and weakened steel collapsing, conventional demolition with explosives like RDX, dynamite, and so forth, demolition versus thermite or its variants.
All those five get thrown by the wayside because of the potential energy issue with the impact to the ground. We didn't see the seismic effect. We didn't see the damage to the bathtub.
Judy, we'll be right back with you, my special guest on the Dynamic Duo. This is Jim Fetzer. Stand by.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helped. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot, no matter what the reason. You can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right. The secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read one. Hi, I'm Steve Glick, CEO of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret, developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your whole family. Kids do better in school, teens can actually score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo is only available for a limited time. Call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-771-8424. That's 1-800-771-8424. 1-800-771-8424.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, P.A. 15091.
Hey, Emily. Wow, you look great.
I feel great. I've been using MediCleanse Colon Cleanse.
Really? What is it? How does it work?
Well, MediCleanse is a natural fiber therapy with ground flaxseed, psyllium, and bentonite clay that eliminates toxins from the body. MediCleanse is easy to use without being intrusive. You take 2 tablespoons of MediCleanse powder, mix with water or juice, drink, and it does all the work for you.
That's it? Well, it sounds so easy and convenient.
It is easy. Plus, the FDA says flaxseed works to prevent cancer and helps with menopause, weight loss, irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation.
It helps with all of those ailments? That's amazing.
And the bentonite clay in MediCleanse eliminates viruses and pesticides in the intestinal tract.
Wow. Where can I buy MediCleanse?
A one-month supply is available online at MediCleanse.com. That's MetaCleanse.com. For only $26.90, MediCleanse is shipped directly to you. Or call 1-800-317-9547. That's 800-317-9547.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Today we're discussing the destruction of the World Trade Center with my special guest, Judy Wood. Judy, let me see if I can summarize some of your views, and you correct me if I have anything wrong. We're looking at the summary of conclusions, the principal data, 18 different points that characterize the explanandum, what has to be explained. You're looking at alternative theories, including the first five, natural causes, arson, airplane impacts, the official story, conventional demolition, and demolition using thermite or thermate. And I take it your inference is that the probability of those 18 effects, more or less, in relation to those causes are all quite low in relation to the two other possibilities you mentioned here, fission or fusion, or beam weapons, which I would class, you know, more broadly as directed energy weapons. Is that,
right.
Is that correct
so far? We had two 500,000-ton buildings go away.
Two 500,000-ton buildings go away. If they'd actually collapsed onto the bathtub, almost certainly it would have fractured or fissioned in such a way to allow...
Oh, and they were, during the cleanup work after 9/11, they realized very quickly how much they were damaging the bathtub wall with their earth-moving equipment.
Just by earth-moving equipment, which, to the best of my knowledge, does not weigh 500,000 tons.
Correct. And they were driving the trucks over various places, and they realized that they were doing serious damage to the bathtub wall.
So you're suggesting that if the bathtub wall had cracked sufficiently to allow the Hudson River in, it would have flooded the PATH train tunnels, the subways, caused massive damage, hundreds of billions, it would have taken, you know, a decade to clean up. And
the underground of New York City would have been flooded.
So you're suggesting that this was done in such a way as to avoid that consequence.
Correct.
And
if you notice, the only buildings destroyed had a prefix of WTC.
It's almost a surgical operation, isn't it? When you look at the variety of buildings there, that the only ones that are totally demolished are those with WTC designations. That's quite stunning. Now, are you willing to entertain...
Even the PATH train tracks stayed completely intact. When they were moving around, you know, with the earth-moving equipment, they covered them with wooden slats so they could drive over them without damaging them. Because they didn't want to have to even go through the expense of replacing the train tracks.
Now, are you willing to entertain something that might call a multi-causal or multi... factorial analysis where you have, say, most of the buildings taken out by some sophisticated directed energy means, but then the rest of the building, say, might be brought down by something more conventional, maybe using thermite or thermate.
Well, what do you mean the rest? The weak checks, you know, that unsupported, you know, skinny little wall standing? Or?
Yes.
The top might have gotten started with something else.
Yeah.
Because it would look kind of funny if the building started disintegrating from the top down without looking like something...
There was something there to vaguely resemble what you would have expected to find.
Right.
Now,
it was a very good, Hollywood, movie prop.
My own conception is that the massive explosions in the sub-basements may have been with one type of weapon, and then the destruction of the top 80% of the buildings, the Twin Towers with another type of weapon, and then the last 20 floors or whatever brought down with something like thermite, which, of course, would account for why... was present.
In the paper, we talk about, when I talk about the potential energy, that with it, for the South Tower, 16 floors, or the North Tower, 20 floors, that much material would account for the boom that the bedrock felt. So if you look at just, let's say gut out all the concrete and marble floors and desks and chairs and everything else and just leave the steel structure, maybe, 30 floors worth. Whatever it was that got to it, what we're just looking at the data, it was selective on what material it was attacking.
Now, you mentioned in point 18 the possibility that a technology of this kind might exist, and of course I've been reviewing all of the elements or stages in the HAARP developmental project, which goes back to 1958 with Project Argus, to 68 with Solar Power Satellite Project, to 78...
And that's what you know about.
With
what you don't know about.
Military implications, yes. That's right, what we know about. And then we get to HAARP with 1993, and recall the summary of this, and we all have it available to us right there online, the conclusions that it would be rash not to associate HAARP with the space laboratory construction being separately planned by the U.S. HAARP is an integral part of a long history of space research and development of a deliberately military nature. The military implications of combining these projects is alarming. The ability of the HAARP Space Lab rocket combination to deliver very large amounts of energy comparable to a nuclear bomb anywhere on Earth via laser and particle beams is frightening. And we're talking about an amount of beam here. The HAARP system intends to beam 3.6 gigawatts of effective radiated power of high-frequency radio energy.
What I have seen in the visual evidence is something far more powerful than what I've seen with I've analyzed the nuclear test blast.
Yeah.
This is far more powerful.
Now, this leaves a wide range of possibility for how this energy source might have been delivered. You mentioned, for example, reflective mirrors, and with your background in study of optics, it could be a ground base reflected by means of mirrors, and you even cited reports from a 1991 study that showed that this was extremely precise.
Oh, it surpassed all their expectations and then some. And it's in my appendix pages 2 and 3 or appendix pages from the website. There's articles there that show test studies. They show the design of it. They even show the price of it.
And I thought
they're comparing the price list for ground-based versus space-based, and space-based is much
frankly,
cheaper.
When I did my research on the plane crash that killed Senator Paul Wellstone, I was driven to the conclusion, and I had several collaborators, one a Ph.D. in physics with a specialty in electromagnetism. We were driven to the conclusion that the plane was brought down using a high-tech weapon of a relatively modest variety in relation to this. That created a surge of energy that overwhelmed the electrical system and flipped the solenoids in the plane and turned their props to idle, bringing about an inevitable crash. I've had encounters with this before, and when challenged about the existence, I did a lot of research on, among other things, turned up that there is a professional society for directed energy weapons that's been meeting for at least 10 years. At the time I was checking them out, they were having their annual meeting in Hawaii. So I hardly think that this is we're dealing with imaginary products here or weapons. In fact, Raytheon has numerous patents on weapons of this kind in the high energy weapon.
Grumman, and there's on page 6 of our website. There's some test runs of shooting down missiles and rockets with this weapon. So it's in use, and it's in use in Iraq
right
now,
another too. Kind. And I'd like to reiterate, for the sake of our audience, Bob Bowman, remember, this man directed the Star Wars research project that, is so intimately involved in a lot of these issues. And the reason why Judy refers to it as a Star Wars weapon to suggest its origin. He advised us on November 11th at a December truth conference in Washington, D.C., that we shouldn't put all of our eggs in one basket of research. He said, quote, "We have set ourselves up for criticism. We set ourselves up to be divided when we concentrate on things we can't prove, and even those things we think we can prove, somebody's going to come up with another explanation. You know, Professor Jones found thermite. Well, people can say that's using cutting torches. That was done by the people who are cutting the buildings up so they can load it on tracks and drive away. It doesn't matter what you've got. You wind up arguing details and you lose the big picture. The big picture is, what hypotheses, what causes can possibly bring about the effects that Judy has so vividly portrayed here in photographs, diagrams, and other forms of recording?
Where did the material go?
We have to look for the hypotheses that can confer the highest probability on the evidence, which acquire the highest likelihood. Judy?
Yeah, where'd the material go? That's what it comes down to. You don't have enough material there.
And let me just say, if our dedication is to truth, if we're here to find out what happened, if we have a problem to solve, a problem of explanation of what happened at the World Trade Center, then we have to do it. We can't pull our punches. We can't exclude alternatives just because we may not like them and think they're going to be politically unpopular, that the press is going to have a field day. If this problem is going to be resolved of what happened at the World Trade Center, it may be that we are the only entity that will ever actually subject it to serious investigation. So I say, everyone who's seriously interested in what happened on 9/11, let us band together to discover the truth by free and unfettered inquiry. I'm so grateful you tuned in to listen to us. You can hear it again on our archive at Genesis. GenesisGCNLive.com has an archive. Check it out. Thank you for listening. This is Jim Fetzer, the Dynamic Duo.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Over the years, Genesis Communications Network has grown by leaps and bounds, reaching millions of listeners. The impact on political and social issues have been enormous. Businesses associated with the network have grown to become valuable enterprises. If you are accredited and have an entrepreneurial spirit, national radio may be the opportunity you're looking for. Call me today at 877-996-4327, extension 101. For more information, that's 877-996-4327, extension 101.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Improve your...